Okay. We're going to start up in 21:22, Genesis 21:22. Got me? We good? Everybody hearing me good? Okay. And we're going to take up where we left off last week. Last week we found out that there was a that we had the birth of the seed that God had promised Isaac, and how the ending of that was that they were at that particular time the Abraham's other seed, the seed that was not of God and was not of God's plan, was basically cast aside and put away to at that particular point, and sent out to be his own nation. And you see God working through Isaac at this particular time, and that because that's his plan. Yes, sir. So now we have, so at this particular time, they went out into the wilderness and they're dwelling, and they've separated the Ishmael story from the Abraham story at this particular point, okay? Then that comes on in Genesis 21:22, it says, it came to pass that Abimelech and Pichol, the chief captains of his host, spake to Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. So he, Abimelech, which Abimelech basically means the king of kings for the particular thing. You'll hear Abimelech through other areas, but it's like a Philistine thing saying that he's the supreme prince around there, okay? He's the head cook in charge of the thing going on, okay? And then this Pichol, chief captain, basically it's his chief of staff, the one that's in charge of his day-to-day operations, in charge of the army and everything like that. And they come to Abraham, saying that God is with thee in all thou doest. Abraham is this shining city on the hill. When they look up to him, they said, God's doing something with this man. And we need to honor that. Oh, that people out there would look at us and say, you know what? Them people at Lake Country Bible Church, yeah, God is doing something with those. We want some of that. And that's kind of like what he's saying right here. That's what God would have of us, would he not? We are here to be his what? Ambassadors, correct? And what does an ambassador do? He is the one sent for the individual, the person in charge. When we send an ambassador for the President of the United States, he speaks for the President of the United States to that other country. So, he says, okay, now, he says, we've watched in you, and we've looked at what's went on with you, and we see that God is with you in everything you do. He says, now forth, swear unto me here by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor my sons, nor my sons' sons, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me, and the land wherein thou hast sojourned. So what was the kindness that was done? He says, and so that will not deal falsely with thee, nor my sons' sons, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee. What was the kindness that he done unto them? Yeah, he respected the marriage, but then after that, he not only that, but he gave them there, he gave them all the stuff. And then he said, stay wherever you want to in my country. Stay here peaceably. You can, don't worry. Nobody's going to mess with you because you're under my auspice. You're under my protection. Stay here with me and sojourn. You don't have to worry about anything going on. Take the best farmland there is out there and feed your sheep on it. That was a mighty thing. Okay? We seen growing up in the United States how people fought over land to graze animals or farm foods, right? It's not a small thing that he did. So he said, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, and thou shalt do unto me and unto the land wherein thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. So in other words, he recognized this man coming to him and said, you know what? I recognize that God's doing a mighty work in you and what's going on with you. And because of all the kindness that I've done to you and our friendship and how we've worked together over these years, I want you to say that your kin and any of your family growing forward will not deal falsely with me or my sons or my son's sons. And Abraham reproved, it goes on saying, Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. So when he says we approved it, what does that kind of give the idea to? He says Abraham reproved. When we think of reproved, what do we think of? Scolded, right? But that's not the real right of this one. If you go into actually exactly how it was written, it would be better termed if Abraham reasoned with Abimelech. He sat down and he discussed with him, hey, okay, you know, I swear this. Now, let's talk about this this well. Let's talk about this well. And he reasoned with Abimelech and he said, concerning the matter of the well, the water, which Abimelech's servants had taken away, violently away. In other words, it was, when you think violently, what do you think? Swords, guns, we think guns, but, swords and basically physically taken away. Injury happens when you talk about violence, right? Although kids nowadays think that words are violence, but I'm not going there. Okay, and it says, and Abimelech said, I wot not who hath done this thing, neither dost thou tell me, neither had I heard, neither yet had I of it, but today. In other words, Abimelech says, I don't know anything about this. Not only did didn't know anything about it, you didn't even tell me about this when it happened. You didn't tell me about this. And neither yet have I even heard of it till this today. In other words, I know nothing about this well that you're talking about, sir. So he's sitting down, he's talking about this well that was dug by Abraham's or his people, right? And understand that wells were very important. Water is very important. In any desert environment, water is life, right? We talked about water when we talked about a couple weeks ago or last week or whatever when the kid was separated and they didn't have any water. It's like, oh my gosh, now we're going to die because we don't have water. Why? Because if you take and you go for a couple days without water, you die. You can go for a few days without food. Some of us go longer than others. But generally, you can go for a while without food, but water is one of those things you got to have. So, whenever you say that somebody violently took away a well, that's a huge asset, is it not? So Abimelech said to them, he's like, I didn't even know about this. So Abraham took a sheep and oxen, and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. So Abraham took to this day, I don't know why Abraham gave Abimelech the sheep and the oxen, because the well was taken from Abraham. But I can see, well, you know what? Let me make a gesture of atonement. You know what? You didn't know about this. I want to get this straight. I'll tell you what. I'll give you these oxen. I'll give you these sheep. I think it was sheep. Let me see. Yeah, sheep and oxen. And gave it unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs in a flock by themselves. 7 ewe lambs in a flock by themselves. I've kind of looked at this 7 ewe lamb thing, and it goes back into Jewish tradition, but I really couldn't understand why they had 7 ewe they put on their line by themselves. If anybody can enlighten me on that, I would like some more information, but I really can't tell you that. So if you're asking that question, that's some studying that would have to be made a little bit deeper. Yeah, you could say the number 7 has something to do with it, Coach, you know. Complete number for God. But they set up 7 ewe lambs. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what means these 7 ewe lambs which I'll set by themselves? And he said, for these 7 ewe lambs shall thou take from my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. So it's almost like he set up these ewe lambs. And it's almost like, and you could say that 7 was the complete number. 7's the number of God. Any of things. But it was a token at that particular time for Abraham saying, this is to show you that I have dug these wells. And that was the reason why, that was the reasoning Abraham gave to him about that. And he says that Abimelech said to Abraham, what means the 7 ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, for these 7 ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand. They are my witness unto, they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. Wherefore, we call this place Beersheba, because they swear, both of them. Now, if I'm not mistaken, if I was reading right, I can't remember this, but bear means well, and I think Sheba means 7. Yeah. So that's basically the whole idea. That's the reason why he named it Beersheba, well 7, or well of 7. So he named it that particular, where he called this place Beersheba, because there they swear both of them. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba, and Abimelech rose up, and Pichol the chief captain of his host, and they returned to the land of the Philistines. Abraham planted a grove at Beersheba and called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in Philistine lands for many days. Now the many days here, from what my reading and everything, could actually mean years at this particular time. It means that he stood there for a long time. Now, there was also, I saw some stuff in the thing about the planting of the grove there. You know, there's a lot of people that would leave a lot of different things into that. But basically, he planted some kind of, I saw all kinds of stuff about the type of trees that were planted and everything like that, but nobody really knows. Some people say oak, the other ones say tamarack or something like that, and that's really not known. You can go back to Jewish tradition and other stuff like that and read all kinds of different stuff, but to give whatever credence to that, we would have to read into what the credence was. We know that he did plant a grove there. For what reason? We don't know, but he also know he called out to the name of the Lord there. He called out to the name of the Lord in praise, saying, thank you, God, because God has supplied this for him, right? Do you think he'd done this all of his own? Which one? Where exactly are you talking about, Coach? Okay, well, let's go on to 22 now. And we've come into a thing that we've all known about, the sacrifice of Isaac, right? And this is kind of a thing. Let's just kind of talk about this as we go through it. It says in Genesis 1:22, it came to pass that after these things that God did tempt Abraham and ask him, and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, I am here. Now, when God tempts you, what does this mean? It's to try him. And let me ask you a question. When God tries you, does he already know what the outcome is? Who is the trying for? The trying's for us. Because whether we pass it or we fail it, do we learn something from it? If God puts a test out there and I fail it, I see just how short I am coming to what God would want me to be, right? If I put a test out there and I pass it, then God says, that also opens my eyes to say, you know what, if God is supplied up to here, what else can he do? So whether we pass the test or whether we fail the test is not for God. God already knows whether I want to pass or fail it. The test that he puts out are the temptations that he put out there for us, because God does not tempt us with sin. The test or the trials that he puts out there is for us to help us grow, because how do you know how to grow if you don't know how short you are? If I take out my pistol and I aim at a target down there, and I fire, but I never go look at the target, then how am I going to determine how well I'm shooting? I have to go down there, and I have to try and shoot down that thing and see where I am, so to see where I'm off my mark, so I can get better at doing what I'm doing. So, at this particular time, it came to pass after these things. Now, it says after these things, you see it moving forward. Now, I've also done some study in this, and the scholars say this could be anywhere from 13 to 26 years. There is no, different scholars say different things. You can go read who you want to, but there's some time that passes. Understand that the last time we saw Isaac, he was just being weaned, right? And now we see him as a young man. There's been some time here and he's grown. Okay, and it says, it come to pass after these things, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. And he said to Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him up there for a burnt offering upon the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, if I'm Abraham, if I was Abraham, I was thinking, what did I eat last night? It's like, really, God? Wait a second. But let's take this part. He says, in the minute God came to him and he said, God, here I am. God started talking to him. Most likely a dream at nighttime. I think it's at nighttime because we're going to see in the next verse he arose early. So this is sometime, if you look at this communication, it's probably in a dream. It's probably at nighttime. And he said, now take thy son, thy only son Isaac. From God's perspective, he only has one son. He only has one son. What happened to Ishmael? Well, God doesn't look at him as being a son. That's been separated right now. And personally, I don't think God ever looked for him as the son. So at this particular time, God says, you have one son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. Get thee into the land of Moriah. Go to the land of Moriah. And offer him up there as a burnt offering upon the mountains, which I should tell thee, which I'm going to tell you to go to. This is not the God I think Abraham knows, but what is Abraham's response to it? Like a good Marine, he stood up, saluted, and said, yes, sir, and let's go after it. His next thing, it says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. When he woke up, God gave him a plan. This shows Abraham's faith in God. He has faith that God's going to do what he said he's going to do. And we'll see that later on as we go through this. He got up early in the morning. He saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him. And Isaac, his son, he clave the wood for a burnt offering, rose up and went to the place where God had told him. In other words, he got up in the morning, he got his donkey, he saddled it up because they were going to use it to carry provisions. Understand, this is a 3-day march. You're going to take some stuff. You got to take water with you. It's a lot easier for the donkey to carry it than the people. He gets two of his ranch hands out there, young men. Why does he have young men going with him? Well, it's probably not a safe place. They're probably guards. They're people that's going to go along and help them move along. It's better for four men to be moving through than two. So he takes a couple of his ranch hands. They chop up enough wood for the burnt offering because where they're going, there's probably not going to be any wood out there. Notice that everything they're taking with them, right? They're taking the wood and they rose up, they got their donkey and they put it on their donkey and they're heading out. They didn't waste any time. They got on the road. Yes, sir. I know it's a 3-day march, so I would have to go back. I didn't pay particular attention to that, coach. And like I said, I didn't pay attention to that, so I really don't know. That didn't draw my attention, so I didn't go to where I was. It's a Temple Mount? Yeah. Okay. And like I said, I didn't go there because that wasn't what drew me that direction. Well, there is no Jews at this particular time. Okay, that God is building. He's building the Jews. But at this particular time, they're not Jews anymore. And understand that Abraham come out of the Gentile world. He was the first of the Hebrews. But he's also a Gentile. He's a Gentile and a Jew. He's the first Gentile Jew. Yes. There's so many of these things over there have had so many names. Yeah. Anyway, he got up earlier and he was going to go to Moriah to do the deed that God had set for him to do. And I just couldn't imagine. I can't imagine what's going through the man's mind. He is God. And I know that he can do anything because he's already proved to me he can do anything. But he's asking something for me to do something that I just don't understand. I could imagine a father trying to run through all this, but willingly doing it. But who, and again, this test is not for God. God already knows what he's going to do. He already knows the outcome. This is a test for Abraham. Abraham rose up early in the morning, sat at his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. So on the third day, he looked up and he's like, that's the place right up there. That's where we're going. I know where I'm going. I can see it. At that particular time, Abraham said to his young man, y'all two stay here. Abide ye here with the ass, and I will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. I may have spoke that. Let me, Abraham, young man, abide here. And I will come, the King James says I. Let me see what Young's Little Translation says. Yeah, I and the lad will go yonder. Well, King James says, and come again to you. He doesn't say we or I. He doesn't use a number there, but he says, and Young's Little Translation says, and I and the youth go yonder and worship and turn back unto you. That's what the literal transmission from Young says. And it's amazing. Understand that if you're talking, and let's just say 13 to 26 years, okay? So that makes, Abraham has been following God long time, right? This is not new stuff to Abraham. And it's amazing how that faith that starts so more, the more God builds. Paul says from faith to faith. In other words, as you see God working, you'll be able to see him work more and more and more because he builds that faith a little bit at a time through every time you see him work within some auspice of your life. So God said to the, so Abraham said to the young man, abide ye here with the ass, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. So he's already saying that we're going to come again unto you. Y'all stay here. We'll be back. We're going to go up here and worship. Y'all hang out here. We'll be back in a bit. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac's son. So now Isaac has taken the place of the ass. The wood was thrown on top of Isaac. Here, son, carry this. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they both went, and went both of them together. So he loaded his son down with the wood. He took a brazier of fire and a knife, and they went off to the point where God had shown them that they were supposed to do the sacrifice. Again, you're looking at a young man, and it, like I said, they have said he's from between, but the things say he could be from different scholars say from 13 to 26, 25, 26. So at 13, you're a young man at that particular time. You're capable of carrying stuff. It's not a child anymore. Yes, sir. I don't know. Maybe Abraham's strong. We don't know. Maybe he's a little guy. Yeah. It's amazing how you can look back and to see that sort of stuff. But you know, but the problem with and we need to give a little bit of grace to some of the older people, the Old Testament people. Understand, when we look back, we see Christ in the Old Testament, right? It's easy to look back and see Christ, isn't it? But it's hard to look forward. So those people that had faith that God was going to do it, it's a lot harder looking. Is it not a lot harder looking forward to the second coming of Christ than it is to look back at what he has done before? Because the forward compares this unknown thing that we don't know about. And in our physicality, we fear it. Who here is scared to die and go to be God? Who here wants to die? None of us truly want to die because that's pain. You know, but we do what we have to do. And we know what's going to happen. Just because we know where we're going to be when we get to the end, when we die and we go to be with God, does that mean that we want to hurry it along any? We don't want, and you know what? That's completely human. And it was human for these people back there too. So, Abraham took his son, the lamb, and they went up to both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood on the altar and bound his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now, this shows a lot of things. We have Abraham, they get there, he builds this altar. I skipped a verse, didn't I? Yeah, I got to go back to that. Which verse did I skip?
Seven.
Oh, yes. Okay. They're carrying the wood up. I knew I skipped one when I hit that. Oh, wait a second. I missed something. It says, and Isaac spoke to so they had all their stuff and they were carrying them. He had the knife. He had all the gear to do the job. Okay. And so Isaac, as they were walking up this mountain or walking up to the place where they were supposed to be, Isaac spoke to his father and said, and so Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Isaac knew what was going to happen. He knew there was supposed to be a burnt offering, right? And in the back of his mind, he's saying, wait a second, I've got the wood, Dad's got the fire and the knife, but where is this sacrifice at? What was Abraham's response to it? Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. My son, don't worry about it. In my existence, in my walk with God, God has always supplied everything we needed. So don't worry. God will supply the lamb for this burnt offering. Abraham had faith that God was going to supply whatever he needed. Whatever he needed. I don't think he told his son, guess what, you're going to be the lamb. But he's saying, don't worry. Don't worry, son. I have faith that God's going to supply what we need. I don't know. Like I said, you cannot know what's going through the man's mind. So you're thinking he may be figuring out that coach that he might be the sacrifice. I cannot fathom that a son that was well treated and loved by his father would think that his father would ever sacrifice him. I think he said, well, you know what? God said he'll supply, dad said God will supply the lamb. Okay. Dad, I'll trust you that God's going to supply the lamb. There, yeah, and then there's some things going on. Yeah, but and we're fixing to hit that in a minute. Like I said, he's going to figure this out in a minute. But right now, walking up there, I don't think it's there, because if he knew what was going to go on, why would he be asking about the sacrifice? but he was like I said. If he knew that he was going to be a sacrifice, why would he be asking his father where's the sacrifice at? He didn't know. But he knew that they were missing something, right? So, don't worry, he said, God will provide a lamb for burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to a place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood, bound Isaac, and laid him upon the wood. Now Isaac knows what the offering is. Now, whether you're a 13-year-old young man or a 26-year-old old man, and I got 113 to 126-year-old man there, if I don't want to be tied up, you're probably not going to get me. This shows the obedience of his son. This shows the obedience of his son, a type of Christ. Christ was obedient. Christ, when he came to earth, understood that he only spoke what God told him to speak. He was the suffering servant. He did what God told him to do and said what God told him to say. He said, they asked him, when was the time? He's like, only God knows. I don't even know. Not even the Son knows. God knows. It's hidden in God. When God tells him to, he'll get up and he'll come down. It's God knows. He is a type of that servant, is he not? Willingly giving himself up because he trusts his dad. His dad trusts God. He's building faith here, right? This has got to be a hard thing to do. This is your only son that you love. You have willingly grabbed all your stuff, took him to this mountain. Now you've done tied it up and you set him up on the altar. Hard things. And sometimes we think what God has us do is hard. He has never had me do anything like this. Not only did he lay up on the wood, Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He got up there and he got ready to take and slay the boy. He was willing to do that because he knew that God would provide for whatever needed. Now, this was supposed to be the child of promise, right? God had made a promise to him that this was going to be the seed that goes forward. He had faith that God was going to supply what was needed. I do believe that he had faith that if he had cut that kid's throat, he knew that God was going to bring him back. But God didn't allow that to happen, did he? So he took the knife and he got up there and he's getting ready to perform the sacrifice on his son. And understand that human sacrifices were done at this day. Not by the Hebrews, but it was done at this day. So this was not something that wasn't known of in the world. At that particular time, he stretched forth his hand, getting ready to cut the lad's throat, or however the sacrifice is going to be. And the angel of the Lord said unto him out of heaven, and said to Abraham, Abraham, he said, and Abraham said, here am I. Yes, Lord. He said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. Do you think God already knew this? Like I said, God knows everything. He already knew this. But he proved to Abraham at this particular time. And do you not think that built Abraham's faith exactly who God was? And so at this particular time, he said, don't touch the kid. Don't touch the kid. But I know for a fact that you would have done exactly what I asked you to do. Terry said that it wouldn't have done for God to allow a sacrifice at this time because the sacrifice is a Christ figure at that particular time. So to allow it wouldn't be a proper sacrifice. We had to wait until Christ, the perfect sacrifice, come. Because as good as Isaac is, he's not perfect. He's not sinless, right? Because he comes from man. He comes from Abraham's seed. And Abraham's seed, as good as Abraham was, he was not perfect. We know he's a liar. Okay? Yeah. There's types and shadows all through this. Yep. But the angel is basically a messenger. There you go. A messenger. And sometimes you just don't speak right. The tongues get tangled. But at this particular time, so he says, don't touch the lad. I know for a fact you did this. But like I said, he wasn't proving it himself. God already knew what Abraham was going to do. He proved it to Abraham. And you see this type and shadow of, like Coach said, you have Christ to the sacrifice. You see Abraham the father willing to give up his only son that he loves. You see the types and shadows here. And here's another type of shadow that comes. It's like, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold him, the ram caught in the thicket of the horn. And Abraham went and took this ram and offered it up to the burnt offering instead of his son. God supplied a ram, the offering that was instead of his son. Just like Jesus provides the offering that God requires instead of us have to do it because we couldn't. Another type of shadow, right? So, Abraham called it 14. And Abraham called the name of this place Jehovah Jireh. And this is a thing that says God provides, or God will provide. Okay? Jehovah Jireh. He called this mount Jehovah Jireh, or this place Jehovah Jireh, as it is to this day. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Huh? On the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Let me go to a different translation just to. And the little translation from Young says, "And Abraham calleth the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, because it is said to this day in the mount, Jehovah doth provide." So, I'm running low on time too. I'm running out of time. Let me see. And we're going to stop at 22:15. I know it's a kind of a weird place to stop, but I'm running out of time this morning. Interesting stuff and interesting things, because we see the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ all the way back into this area. And you know, like I said, it's easy for us to look back, right? But how easy would it have been for somebody in David's time to look at this particular scripture and say that that's Christ and he's going to be sacrificed? They can't do that. That's the reason why when we talk about faith and when we're in different dispensations, how are we saved? Through grace, through the finished work of the cross, right? How was David saved? By grace, through faith, through the finished work of the cross. Even though he didn't know Jesus, he didn't know that Jesus was going to die, he had faith in God. He had faith in the information at that particular time that was given to him by God. That's the reason why I go back to say, you know, Noah was saved by faith, right? But if Noah hadn't been a boat, he couldn't have shown his faith and he wouldn't have been saved. By faith, he did this sort of stuff. So when dispensationalism, when you look at it, you really have to look at what information was given to them at that particular time for them to have faith in God. That's the reason why a good Jew during the time of the law had to at least attempt to follow the law. The law, they couldn't do it. It was impossible for them to do it. The Bible says that if they could have done it, then it would have been good enough, but you can't do it because you're not good enough. The failure is in human beings, not the law. But they had to at least try. Because if they weren't trying, they weren't showing faith, were they? They had to try enough to come to the point where they know they couldn't. And that was a thing that they had to deal with. Anybody got anything else? I'm babbling enough. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you so very much for the time together. I hope that I have done as what you would have me do this morning in your teaching. As always, we feel that we never go enough, we never have enough understanding, but I know, Father, that you teach each one of us through the Holy Spirit what you would have us know. Iron sharpens iron, and we will continue to sharpen each other. I pray that you would allow us to come back next week. I'm sure you're going to have Wesley up here next week. Give him the strength and the ability to teach what you have him teach, and I pray that you would give us the understanding of your scripture as we go forth into Mike's teaching. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.